you know, grab a hymnal, you know, in a devotional time, and just look at some of this stuff. You know, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You could have a half hour prayer time with this hymn. Lord, take my life. Take my life, Lord. Give it to you. Take my moments. Take this day. You know, I mean, how wonderful would that be? How focused would your heart be if in the morning before you left for work, you prayed through this hymn, take my life and let it be. So just something that crossed my mind that I thought was wonderful, but just to encourage us in our devotion and in our growing in God. We'll get theology in us wherever we can, right? And songs are a great way to do it. Okay. Continuing then in Matthew. As I mentioned earlier, you know, we're talking about being kingdom people. And what sets us apart then as kingdom people, distinctive, set apart, beatitude sorts of folks, the poor in spirit and the meek and the merciful, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, and then being an influence in our world, salt and light. It's who we are. It's we can't compartmentalize. I was thinking this morning in 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors. That's quite a statement, really. Think about, you know, what an ambassador is and does. They go, they represent, don't they? And the thing is, with an ambassador, there's no off-duty. I mean, you're always representing. Our ambassador in Sweden is always our ambassador in Sweden. Okay, they may have off time, they have to be in the office, but if they get in trouble somewhere, they're off running around and they do something wrong, guess what? They're representing the United States. They're always an ambassador. You can't compartmentalize. We cannot compartmentalize our lives. And here's my Christian time, and then I got my work time, and then maybe, you know. No. We are kingdom people. Any more than I can change my eye color or whatever it is. No, you cannot. We're always salt. We're always light. We're always an ambassador. We're always representing. In everything we do and everything we say, we are God's people. So our character then, as these kingdom people, reflects God. And that's what makes it so great and daunting. We represent God. We represent His glory. We represent His name to the world. And so our actions and our words need to reflect Him and His perspective on things. A true disciple represents God's kingdom to the world. Now I say all of that then in looking at the next issue in Matthew chapter 5. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let's take a moment to pray. Dear Father, we come to you again. We come to your word, Lord. Speak to us today. God, may the words that I say now be accurate, true. Lord, may they be what you would want for us, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, Fenimore, Wisconsin, right here, right now. Touch our hearts, I pray. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Convict us. Move us. Challenge us. Encourage us. Whatever it is that you want to do, God, may your work be done today. Through your word, I pray. Especially now as we look at this issue of oaths and speaking. And I pray you touch us, Lord, and show us what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. So as the pattern has been in these issues, we have an issue, and then we have the heart issue, and then an application. And Jesus, again, takes the focus and says, the law says this, but look at it through me. Remember, he said, I am not taking away the law. I'm going to fulfill it. I am what the law is really about. And we have this issue of oaths. Now, I got to tell you, I have for a long time, wondered about this issue. Because you read it here in other places in James, the book of James, he says this kind of same thing, and it seems like a really big deal. You know, I mean, don't take an oath. It's bad. It's evil. Don't even go near it. And you wonder, what is going on here? Well, there's a lot going on here. And I was very happy to study through this a little bit. So the issue is taking of oaths. And the issue really comes out of the law is one of a concern for the name of God. To uphold the sanctity and the righteousness and the validity and holiness and just protect God's name in what we say and how we say it. So, for instance, I have a whole bunch of scriptures here, you know, and if you want to look at them later, but I'll just read through them. For instance, Exodus 27, in the commandments. I think it flows out of that. You shall not take the name of your Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So if you invoke the name of God in any kind of way, watch out. It's a serious deal. Leviticus 19, verse 11. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. All right? If you say something in my name, you had better hold it up. It's a big deal. Numbers 30, chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, this is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Deuteronomy 6:13. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. Okay. Deuteronomy 23:21. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay in fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. So it tells us, again, we're seeing that God takes this very seriously. Psalm 50:14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And one last one, Zechariah 8:16-17. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. So you see where the issue comes from. This is not something that's hidden in the law. God speaks of it much, a lot. Not like last week. You know, last week we're talking about divorce and the law really doesn't speak to it much at all. Now, one little place, and even there, was just kind of almost an aside, okay? But here, it's very clear, and it seems like Jesus is contradicting what the law clearly says. You know, he says, you have heard, it was said, you shall do not swear falsely, but perform the Lord what you have sworn. Well, we just read that, didn't we? And that's pretty much exactly what the law says. And in reading it, it seems fairly clear that that's what you should do. But Jesus takes a different way. Now, not so much taken another way, but there was a problem here, okay? There is a problem in this issue of taking oaths. And our friends the Pharisees just seems like they can mess anything up. So, what was happening? A couple things. One, in trying to protect, okay, so these Pharisees are thinking, man, I do not want this kind of problem. I don't want this kind of condemnation on me, right? Good intent. But in trying to protect the sanctity of God's name, in the speaking of oaths, they inadvertently, and maybe not so inadvertently, were looking for wiggle room. Okay, they're trying to find ways that maybe I can make an oath, but not have me in God's name. And, you know, they try to make these distinctions. They made distinctions between vows and oaths sometimes. You know, a vow was a pledge before God that I would do something. You know, I vow to the Lord, I will, you know, I thought about this, I was reading the other day, it was kind of funny, the Jews who vowed not to eat or drink until they killed Paul. I wonder what happened to those guys. You know, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, maybe they found some wiggle room in there somewhere, I'm sure, because either that or they starved to death, right? Okay, so a vow is a pledge before God that some item or act is forbidden. I'm not going to do this. I will do this. Or an oath then is a little different. It's a swearing or you're swearing that one has or not done something. Okay, so, you know, I swear I wasn't there. I didn't do that. I don't know that person. I never saw them before. I swear it. I have not done something, or I swear I did do it. Did you clean your room? Yeah, I swear. I cleaned my room. I did it. All right? Or it could be, swearing that you will or will not do something. Okay? I promise you, I will not do that again. You know, I promise you, I will. I'm going to do it. I promise. I swear. Cross my hope to die. Whatever. Okay? And in that muddleness, then people got kind of confused on what's an oath, what's a vow, and they would make like substitutes. So I'm not going to swear by God, because obviously that's a big deal. Okay, I don't want that. So maybe I can swear by other stuff, and then I won't be condemned at least. But, and again, trying to find some wiggle room. They're trying to find the wiggle room. You know, and the problem is that it seems like the Pharisees over time kind of develop that angle to their advantage. In fact, turn your Bible just a few pages ahead in Matthew to chapter 23. And we see, I think, a little more clearly maybe what Jesus is talking about here. Okay? So, Matthew 23, starting at verse 16. So, he's going through a bunch of woes. He's really hitting the scribes and the Pharisees here. Okay? And in verse 16, he says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if someone swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And if you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So, whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it." So it seems like the Pharisees were kind of trying to manipulate this idea of oaths and vows to their advantage, to be able to either wiggle through something or, you know, and Jesus is saying, you people, don't you understand? This is not about you. This is about God. And so it seems like that is what Jesus is addressing here, this issue of the heart. It comes back to our heart. And the issue really then is one of integrity and speaking the truth. That is, we are disciples, or we are the true disciples of God, of Christ, kingdom people. We need to be people of integrity and people whose words are true. And he shows us that first by showing that, you know, really the formula is irrelevant. Okay? I swear by the mountain, I swear by the temple, I swear by my head, whatever it is, the formula doesn't matter. You can't avoid referencing God. We see that here in chapter 5, right? Do nothing for either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, by earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king, and don't take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. You can't avoid God. All right? You can't avoid referencing God. I could swear by this microphone. All right? It's you're still talking about God, right? I mean, God created the matter that went into this microphone. He created the minds, the technology to help us to have people make the microphone. At the end of the day, it's about God. So whether you go by heaven or earth or Jerusalem or your head or whatever it is, you can't avoid him. You can't wiggle out of it. If you look in Isaiah 66, verse 1, you know, I think it might have been something that Jesus was thinking about here. "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest?" Well, so Jesus is thinking about the word right there. So any attempt to make a formula, to try to wiggle around, to make an oath or a vow without invoking the name of God, really just denies God's sovereignty over all creation. He is sovereign over everything, and so any vow we make is really him. He sees all of our words. You cannot hide that from him. You know, and then even our head. I'll make a vow myself. I was reading somewhere that some Jews thought that you could make a vow by your hand, and then you'd be okay. You know, and then, but even then, you are denying God's sovereignty in creation. He made you. He made your head. You can't do a thing. We can try to color it. Put some plugs in there if we need to. But God is the creator. God made us. All oaths, any oath you take, is under God's witness. He hears it. He takes note of it. And he treats it very seriously. Because it's his name. It's his glory that is being sworn by. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Jesus insists that whatever someone swears by is ultimately related to God in some way, and therefore every oath is implicitly in God's name. They're all in God's name. So you can't wiggle around the seriousness of the law. So what does Jesus say? He says, you're better off just not doing it at all. Now, actually, a lot of people in the ancient world would agree. Essenes, different folks throughout history would agree, you know what? You're better just not do that, for integrity's sake. But the implication then is, again, one of integrity for us. So one, we must keep our promises and be people of our word. We need to be known as those kind of people. One of the things, that always struck me about my father, okay, for whatever could be said against him, and there's plenty, okay, he's not a perfect man, as any of us are, but, he had his issues. But growing up, here's what I remember about him. In our little town of Nevis, if my dad said something, that's how it was. And you didn't have to worry about it. If he said he was going to be there, he would be there. If he said he was going to do something, he would do it. If he said that something was true, it was true. And people knew that about him. They knew that you could count on Jim King. I always appreciated that about him. That he lived his life in a way that was his reputation. And there was no doubt about it. That is us. We need to have that sort of a presence as salt and light and ambassadors of people of truth, of people of keeping a promise, that it is not even a question about who we are. So the law does show us that God takes this very seriously, and that's the other part of it. If I say something as simple as, I promise you, I'll wash the car. I'm going to wash the car. And then I don't do it. Not a huge deal, right? No biggie. Okay, we'll look at grace. But that's God's name. That is God's name that you have lessened or put down. Something as simple as that. So our integrity reflects God's character and integrity. And as his ambassadors, there's a direct relationship as we reflect who God is and show the world who God is. If we don't keep our word, if we aren't people of integrity and truth, what are those people going to think about God? Does God keep his promises? Is God really going to forgive me? Does God really love me? How can I count on that? Now, fortunately, there is grace here in the Spirit, but we need to take it seriously that people see us, and we may be the only connection that God has for them to see himself. We must take it seriously. So Jesus says then, just that yes be yes, you know be no. Be known as that kind of a person. The only reason that we should swear at all is because of human untruthfulness. I mean, the only reason you should ever have to say, why should I be, someone says something, and they say, I swear to you I'll do it. Or I promise. No, this time, swear by my mother's grave, whatever it is. It's because we inherently, some of this, we know the fallenness of people. And we know the untruthfulness of people. And how difficult it is sometimes to rely on folks. Some would say that the call of not to take an oath at all is to avoid the breaking of that oath, okay? So if you don't swear by something, then you're not accountable. That is not what's going on here, all right? Don't take it as Jesus saying, if you don't swear, then you're good. No. All of our words under God. And also that call for God to notarize our speech, so to speak, I swear by God, then it's okay. It's an infringement on his majesty and reduces God to an object of manipulation for us. If I can get you to do something, if I swear by God or something like that. No, that is not what we want to be. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, And again, it seems like he's just contradicting the law completely. God swears. He says, by myself, I swear I will do these things. Jesus answered the Pharisees under oath. Remember, he said, by the exact words, he said, are you the Christ? You know, by God and by the word, you know, are you the Christ? And Jesus answered them. So he did answer this. So the issue that we come to is, you know, can we take an oath at all? Should we? Any oath? You know, and there are some who have taken this, you know, very, very literally. There are folks who won't take any kind of an oath. But you think, okay, what about, you know, how about my marriage vows? Should we just, you know, stand up and say, yeah, do you hate this woman? Yes. Do you promise to be with her? You know, promise? Well, I'm not going to promise. I'm just saying yes, you know. You know, I mean, you know, but we don't think that. We don't think that's a bad thing, right? Is anybody here? No, of course not. You know, or you go to court, and they're going to ask you to swear, to tell the truth. The whole truth, nothing to lose, right? Can a Christian do that? Again, it seems to me that the emphasis in Jesus' teaching here, in if he's the fulfillment of what's going on here, and I'm going to trust that Jesus, his teaching is good, okay? I'm going to trust that. That his emphasis is that honest people don't need to resort to oaths, okay? We shouldn't have to. And so, and if we have to resort to oaths to make someone believe us, that comes from evil, or the evil one, however you want to look at it. Okay, I think that's what we're talking about here. He's not really saying don't take an oath and where it's proper or in civic duty or whatever in that, but just be people who don't need to take that oath. Don't have to try to manipulate someone. You know, say, oh, I promise, please, please, please. You know, I remember as kids, you know, we do that. You know, I promise, I won't do it again. You know, Lucy Van Pelt. I promise, Charlie Brown, I won't move the football again. You guys know what I'm talking about? Good. All right, he's still out there, Charlie Brown. All right, you know, right? We don't want to be people like that. You know, I read this quote from John Stott. Swearing, you know, in this way, is really a pathetic confession of our own dishonesty. If I feel like I have to swear to get my point across, I'm just telling you, yeah, I'm kind of dishonest, but on this case, I'm going to try to not be. And we need to remember, too, you know, as we try to get our minds around this, that Jesus' style of teaching really kind of, he put some force behind it. You know, lusting is murder. Divorce is adultery. Cut off the hand. Gouge out the eye. Right? So we're thinking Jesus is really making a point here, and I believe it's the same here. Okay, that generally speaking, as kingdom people, let's have integrity. Let people know that if I say yes, it's yes. And if it's no, it's no. And I don't have to say I swear or pinky swear or cross my heart or anything. But in our society and culture, if it calls for setting your hand on the Bible or in a marriage, you know, hanging a vow there, it's okay. But no, even then, that is God's people. This is a serious thing, and we want to be known as his ambassadors, as truth tellers, promise keepers. That's what it's about. And to do anything less is to take away from the glory of God. That's what it comes down to. So this week, as we go through our lives, you know, I don't know about you, but the temptation and the struggle is very real in this area. You know, how easy is it to, you know, tell a little lie just to smooth things over, you know, to break something and just go, I'll just leave that. And, you know, did anybody see who broke that? I don't know. Don't know what happened there. It's very tempting because it makes peace. You don't have to worry about it. That is not kingdom people. All right, we want to be honest. And yeah, there could be consequences, but I guarantee you that God's name will be lifted up as we are people like this. So let's be those kind of people. Dear Father, I'm grateful for your word. Help us, God. Help us by your Spirit to be people of integrity in what we say. Lord, may we be known as people who say the truth and who keep their promises. Lord, bring the light in our lives. Anything that would not be true, expose our lives, Lord. Forgive us, and we thank you for the grace that we have in you. Bless us this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.